Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Everybody has been paying close attention to all of the changes or supposed changes in our healthcare legislation and the Senate bill that's been on for voting, off for voting. Now it's being pushed to after the July 4th recess. And personally, I think that's a good thing because this bill that they've come up with is not a repeal. It is not a replacement. It actually doubles down and underpins and the foundations of Obamacare. You know, the fact that they're still talking about exchanges and giving money to these supposed exchanges, which basically don't exist anymore. They're all gone bankrupt. Does it make any sense to anybody out there that you put more money into something that's already failed? I mean, I understand the principle of reconciliation. I understand they don't have enough votes in order to get rid of this thing lock, stock, and barrel, but it doesn't make any sense to me to literally support it, which you're saying you're against, and put money, serious money, behind it. So they've gone from the House bill of having a pot of money for the insurance companies to use to supposedly dole it out to their members, you know, the people who buy their insurance plans, to adding money to the states. And this money is supposed to come out of the Treasury, some sort of pot, $10 trillion, $15 trillion a year. I mean, where's this money coming from? The answer is us. That's the answer. Taxpayers are on the hook to give money to a private entities, these insurance companies, and to other state government. It's a shell game. And it's also crony capitalism at its worst, I should say. And I could see if the insurance companies have a track record of doing the right thing, but they don't. Every time they get money, and it happened under the Obamacare, they took money to get subsidized, and they never passed it along to the customers. The prices went up, out-of-pockets went up, coverage went down. Doctors left the roles of these insurance plans, especially the Obamacare plans, and we ended up with more rationing, decreased access, and it's just, I don't understand how people can get on TV and act like it's great what we have now and it's working perfectly and tweaking it is going to make a big difference. Tweaking it is not going to do anything except pour more money in down a hole and prop it up until they get what they really, really want. And Elizabeth Warren is, I don't know, telling the truth about what they really want. And a Seattle Times article came out and she's quoted as saying, the next step is single payer healthcare. Did I not say this, Dave? Oh, I don't know, about 5 years ago now. I hate to be right, especially on this one, but this is what they've wanted all along. And I think what patients and a lot of savvy people are coming to the conclusion of is that the Republicans also want the same thing as the Democrats. If they didn't, they wouldn't be coming up with the same answers and telling us we should like it. The problem has always been, why is healthcare so expensive? That's the question that never gets asked, and it certainly never gets answered in these legislative fixes. It's ridiculous. Every time the government steps in, everything gets more expensive, quality goes down, regulations and compliance pressure goes up, and people who are innovators and people who love what they do leave whatever system it is. They either create their own or they just stop playing the game altogether. And what I think the only difference is now with this play that they're making is that it's become a theater where the Democrats cry foul, we're going to obstruct, the Republicans come up with no change, and they end up with this, at the top, this fighting that's going on, and they're slapping each other on the back behind the scenes. Just tell me why. I mean, really, the Democrats got everything they wanted in this Senate bill. You fund exchanges, you subsidize insurance companies, you even give money to the states to keep paying for Medicaid. And that's another conversation, which I'm sure we'll have after the break. But there's a ton of money being thrown at a problem where the government is taking the lead and is the answer. That is the Democrat way. I don't understand why they're complaining. And my favorite was after they talked about this thing or put it out there, Schumer is like, oh, we need to get together and work together. What are you doing that last few months when you said we're not going to do anything? We're going to let it die. And this is a joke. And as long as we sit here and watch like watching a tennis match, I feel like my head is on a swivel sometimes. But you know what? I'm deciding just to get up and walk away because this is stupid. We have a whole free market healthcare system that exists outside of this bubble that is working just fine. I read another article that the IBM and other large companies are actually contracting with doctors directly to give services to their employees. That is the answer. Forget the government. Forget about your insurance company. You need to make a direct relationship with your physician. And if you don't like that physician, by all means, leave that group and find another. We're free. They don't talk about this anymore, but an executive order was signed, 2 months ago now, that stopped the mandate. We're free. We don't have to wait for Congress to come up with their crap, which is what it is. You know, vote with your pocketbook right now. You're not going to get fined. You're not going to have a penalty. They're not going to take it out of your taxes. This is when you make your move. If I were you, I would think about that seriously because the prices are only going to continue to go up. The choice is going to continue to drop. They're now on the whole, our healthcare system quality has dropped dramatically. Where if you're lucky to get a doctor, which I'm not sure you are anymore, they have 7 minutes that they can spend with you. They have their nose in a computer where they're filling out, you know, checking the boxes on the electronic medical record system that has been pre-populated with what medicines they're allowed to prescribe a la hospital regulations. If you're admitted, I mean, I've seen so much now, I'm just appalled. I have friends who have been affected by this. I have people I've known who've passed away because of this, and people who've had bad outcomes because of our system. It's no longer standard of care. If you have somebody walk into an emergency room in excruciating pain with a kidney stone, and they're not hydrated, they're given pain medicine, any blood work was done, just an ultrasound to tell them they had a stone, and they were sent home, and they said, I don't feel comfortable going home, but they were sent home. 3 days later, they're back in septic shock, in an ICU, and in the hospital for 2 more weeks, and they still never did anything. They put a stent in finally, but no lithotripsy. They don't even know if the stone is still there. I can't even imagine having that much pain for 2 weeks and not even a PCA, which is the machine that you use to give yourself pain medicine, so you can at least feel comfortable. That wasn't even given. This is the standard of care that we're dealing with. Having somebody with heart disease, having a heart surgery, who has, you know, lung issues, but no tracheostomy is offered. You know, taking somebody off the ventilator when their lungs are weak without any support, that person passed away. This is unacceptable. And nobody sees this except the people who unfortunately have a loved one or themselves are shoved into this system. They want to treat you as an outpatient as long as they possibly can because they will lose money if they admit you and you stay there too long. That's the pressure that the hospitals are under. Yet, are they really losing money because they get to get money from the government for paying for people who can't afford to be admitted? They get money from the fact that they're sometimes nonprofit, they don't pay any taxes. They get money from the drug companies, I'm sure, when they run trials. There's a lot of money to be made in being a trial center. And it's just a money-making venture where the patients and the doctors have been monetized, part of a cog in a wheel that all we're there to do is to make money off of. That's unacceptable. While they tell you they love you, that the government has your best interest at heart, that if you raise your hand to ask a question, you're the worst person in the world and just demonized, it's time to stop letting somebody define you. define us as doctors, as patients. It's done. I'm done with it. These are the same people who can give a damn, who have a different standard of care, who don't even have to follow their own rules. They make a law that they're exempt from. I remember the one about you can insider trade if you're in Congress. It's legal for you to do that, but it's not for you or me to do that, or you or I, whatever the proper term is. The bottom line is, they're now, it's a monarchy. You can make a law that you're exempt from. My favorite. I mean, what is that? I don't know what to say, except it's time to wake up and take your power back. Single payer. This is what this article says, that 50 to 60% of Americans are in favor of single payer. I don't believe that number is correct. And if it is, they have no clue what single payer is going to mean in our country. In the UK, it means Liverpool care pathway, or at least it did. I hope they got rid of it. And that's where they took sick patients and withheld their food and water until they died, and the hospital got paid for it. They were literally getting paid to get rid of people in their hospitals. Some whistleblower finally alerted people, and I think it stopped, but nobody went to jail for that. No administrator suffered any consequence. How many people died because of that, I wonder? I remember their guidelines changed, so you had to be basically blind before you can get a cataract surgery, hip replacements, any kind of elective procedure was, you wait forever for it until you don't need it or it doesn't work. This is the kind of thing that's going on. They're bankrupt in their NHS now. They've hired private entities to come in and oversee some of their clinics. It doesn't work. Canada, right next door, they come to the United States if they have the means because they want to get treatment faster. Up there, it's faster for a veterinarian to get a CT scan than it is for a human being to get one. This is what you want? This is awesome? I don't think so. But that's even straightforward, where it's just the government paying. I can tell you, it is not going to work that way in our country. Look who's writing the bills, and look who's paying them money. Top 10 lobbyists are healthcare related. What they're going to do is Medicare Advantage kind of structure, where your taxpayer money is taken from you, and it's going to keep going up, by the way. It's not going to go lower. Your taxes will go higher. Government will take that money and it'll get it, dole it out to these insurance companies. And there's now five of them. They wanted three, but thank God antitrust stopped that. So there are five insurance companies that are going to take that money, and then they're going to let them administer it. So they're going to be the ones to dole out the resources. Do they have a conflict of interest, do you think? Do they make more money if they collect a premium and then don't pay for your needed, necessary medical expenses? I think so. Nobody talks about their conflict of interest. That's a huge, fly on the wall, or whatever you want to say. It's the how can I put it? The thing that you can't define, but it happens to everybody. It happens to doctors, it happens to patients. And when you really, really need the help, that's when they find a way to deny you. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, I was trying to break down the fact that you have to follow the money. I mean, this is a mantra. I think I've been saying it for 10 years, if not longer. Money talks on Capitol Hill. Money talks everywhere, but there it talks in a way that is extremely powerful. And it's a place that it should have no sway. If they really wanted to make changes in our system, they would cut the ability to lobby out. As doctors, we can't even get a pen because that's supposedly coloring our prescription patterns. Those guys are getting junkets, golf things, money. And when I went up there, what I was told was the thing that makes these guys run is getting money for their next election cycle. They spend 99% of their time doing that. I think the aides actually run the actual day-to-day. They write the law, the bills. They're the ones that's doing the grunt work. These guys just spend their time getting money. They have no clue what's being written. They don't even read what's being written. And they just put them out there as the mouthpiece to talk crap. That's your government. That's your legislative government in action. And anything that rocks that boat is going to be seen as an enemy. We see how that works with the executive branch right now. All this drama of people lying left and right, making up stories. I mean, this stuff is coming out. It's like, you know, it's like an enema. All this flush of stuff coming out. And it's illegal. How come no one's gone to jail? I'm just curious. Or being sued for defamation. Thank God Sarah Palin finally got some nerve up. But this has been going on in your face. It's been, you've been told what's being done, and it still keeps being done as if you're so stupid you're not paying attention. I think people aren't paying attention anymore because they're just done with it. But the same principle with the health care bill. They've lied over and over again about what they wanted to do. If they really wanted to repeal and replace Obamacare, as soon as the election was won, that legislation would have been on a desk to be signed immediately because it was in, it was already done. It was in, it was not prepped. You know, it wasn't written. They had no clue. And they got stuck with their pants down, having to make up something. And having to make up something that sounds like it's doing something but really doesn't, in my opinion. That's, I think the major thing is, how do you look, make yourself look busy while nothing happens? I mean, I think it's amazing the country's moved forward. You know, they're opening up new coal mines. I think BMW is opening up more jobs in South Carolina. Despite them, everything seems to be moving forward. But they're the Democrats aren't the obstructionists. It's the cocktail GOP, in my opinion. I mean, why can't anything get done? They know, and they're not even following what people voted Trump in for, which is protect the country, you know, get a health care bill, cut the taxes. None of that stuff is moving forward. And it's all we'll get to. It's going to be in the fall, and it's going to be this. They're playing chicken in this election in order to get back in. And maybe they're trying to destroy, I don't know, I think the Democratic Party is pretty much gone, to tell you the truth, but trying to destroy the Republican Party. Whoever owns this legislation will be blamed for the next round. Maybe they do want to lose so they can be in the minority and they can, nothing changes. Because they have to do something now. They're in a position where they can't just, we'll get it done, it'll happen, we're working on it. It doesn't work anymore. And what's your take on that?
I think what I'm seeing and hearing over and over again is that, and I feel the same way. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. As stupid as this may sound, it's influenced what I do or don't watch on television even. If it's going to be an argument, it's going to be somebody throwing mud at somebody else, I don't want to watch it. And what I'm hearing is that everybody is just sick and tired of Congress. They're sick and tired of the quote-unquote fake news. You were talking about Palin standing up, you know, the guy that CNN came out, I haven't paid that much.
It was a producer that said that the whole Russia thing was to make money and it was BS, that guy? Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're all just very frustrated. And the thing that concerns me the most is we got some real international problems, real big international problems. And we're not only not, because of the kids that we've sent to Congress, we're not addressing our national problems, much less our international problems. And we may think I think our attitude is such that we think everybody, that we're superior to everybody. Well, it doesn't take a dummy to realize that people, they know we're in turmoil. They know that we have trouble getting out of bed by ourselves in the morning. They see what Congress is not doing. And if I recall some strategy somewhere, if I'm going to attack somebody, I'm going to attack them when they're at their weakest point.
Oh, that's logical.
We're pretty damn weak right now.
But it's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the argument that the status quo is the most important thing. It's don't disrupt the apple cart, the money train. It's, I always thought, well, not always, but I've come to believe that there's no two-party system. It's a one-party system.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And it's a public-private partnership. That's that crony capitalism again, where the government has winners and losers. They pick who they like. They do it all the time. You have, what is it, Amazon now getting contracts from the CIA, Facebook get contracts from the CIA. These are some of the richest people, or become some of the richest people. They're in the business of, well, Amazon is, and they've just bought out Whole Foods. That's going to be the biggest conglomerate out there. And they don't make, they make money on the backs of people who produce. That's what they do. I sell a book on Amazon, 50% goes to them. Or is it 55%? It's ridiculous. How can they take that much money for my labor? But they do. And that's how they get, that's how they become so large. I'm in a position now, I'm like, just buy from my website. Because I want to make what I earn. I don't want to give it to somebody else who's done nothing. They don't even hype your book. They just take your money. So, I mean, we just, if they become the new Walmart, where they just basically, you know, suck off the value of whatever they put into their, on their website, but they're not creating anything. They're not. And now Whole Foods, they start talking about making them, make going with robotics and getting rid of people. Be careful what you ask for. You know, this movement towards artificial intelligence, that's another, that's a whole nother conversation, but you know, I'm a big sci-fi buff. There's enough sci-fi movies that I've seen. It all ends the same way. You create something, it becomes sentient, you know, it has awareness, and any creature, any living thing wants, I think probably two things, to be free and to be free to do what they love to do. Those are two things. Well, when they figure out, or the computer figures out that it's superior to us, we're going to become the thing that it wants to get rid of. I mean, same thing happens in all those sci-fi stories. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to upload your consciousness into some machine, live forever? This is what these people are thinking. And we are superfluous. We're faulty. There's something wrong with us. You need to be, nothing's perfect. But the gene therapy and all sorts of things that they're coming up with to make us better, I just don't think that's appropriate. It's playing God, and you can't play God. It never works out. And the people who do want to do that question their motivation. I really do. Because they're so smart. They're so forward-thinking. They're so much better than us. Then their second thing is, well, why do the other people exist? They're useless. We're better than they are. We just need to be amongst ourselves and work with machines. I mean, this is kind of the mindset. It's not a scientific mindset. And if you notice, too, there's been this big push towards science, like as if science is almost a religion now. There was some sort of march recently where there was, it was about glorifying science. Science is only good as the people who put it out there. And Tuskegee experiment, anybody? You know, what happened in Nazi Germany? A lot of people do a lot of things that are completely unethical in the name of science. Do you really want them running the show? I don't. And the climate change folks, I mean, if you really think critically about what they're really saying, it's not a car, it's not carbon, I'm sorry, I should say it's not coal plants, it's carbon dioxide. Well, it's 8 billion people in the world right now, whatever. We are the biggest producer of carbon dioxide. They're talking about you, you know, turning your water down and taking cold showers. That's not the end point. The end point is getting rid of you because you are the CO2 emitter. Well, who's going to be the ones that are allowed to stay? It's eugenics, people. Really? Taken to its nth point. It's not about helping humanity. It's about control, just like Obamacare. I see a thread through all of this. And it's, you know, I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm not going to put my head in the sand when things become a little bit obvious and there seems to be a pattern. This show will call it out. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I know we took a serious turn there, but I just speak the truth and what I've done research on, and there's a lot of things out there that look benign on the surface that we are distracted from. I mean, there's a big distraction campaign going on. It's incredible, and it's pervading the younger set. I mean, this whole education system is pretty bizarre. Let's give you an example. Remember, I don't know, Dave, you know that they're trying to do the vouchers for school, for kids to have a choice about where they go for school, and how it's being told it's the worst thing in the world, it's terrible. Well, there is a study that was done, and I turned on NPR a few days back, and they were talking about this study, and they highlighted the first part of it, which was when children who have vouchers leave and go to a different school, private school, they don't do as well in the first, you know, year of being in that school. And it was like an indictment of the voucher system that you were going to put kids in a position that they would fail. They finally, at the end of the segment, talked about how they did overall. Well, after 3 years, they were equal with their classmates, and they were doing better than the children who were left in public school, which totally negates the argument of, you know, vouchers bad, and it's going to, you know, ruin the lives of kids who go there. I mean, it's just disingenuous. This is the whole argument. You put in this fear factor, race baiting, class baiting argument to get people completely just emotionally wrecked so they can't think critically, but the outcome is the opposite of what you said it was going to be. Why would anybody be against vouchers? Why would anybody have a bias against somebody doing something that's good for them and their family? I'm all for that. Not everybody wants to use them, and they shouldn't. It's just like the healthcare system. If Obamacare doesn't work for you, then you shouldn't be forced to use it. It's not better. And they're acting like this is Harvard. You know, staying in the public school system is like going to an Ivy League. It's great. Everybody does awesome. It's not true. Just like the healthcare system, people are getting substandard care. They're getting two-tier medicine. They're not even being admitted into some of the top-level hospitals in our country. Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, they've already put people on notice. We're going to take patients with commercial insurance preferentially over Medicaid and Obamacare. I don't know how you can do that, but that's what they said they were going to do. Nobody said anything about that. If you're really into fairness and social justice, what? Nobody said anything about that. With the mindset of something that you're forcing people to buy is not good, that it's so bad that you cannot get access. But let's do more of it, because that's all we know how to do. But I can tell you, if they're allowed to push this through, the next phase is going to be doctors being mandated to take it. They tried it a couple times. They've been talking about it. You can't get your license unless you take Medicaid, Medicare, Obamacare. Somebody in Virginia brought that up. Somebody in Hawaii said that. Well, that's slavery. I didn't spend, you know, 10 years to be told how to treat my patient by somebody who can give a damn and by somebody who doesn't even have to access the same system. I'm not doing it. And hopefully, we're in a position now where we're at a critical juncture where they've basically had to lay out their plan. Elizabeth Warren, thank goodness, spoke the truth. This is what they want. This allows the government to completely control 1/6 of the economy. Because if they're the ones holding the purse strings, they're going to have their hands in every aspect of our healthcare system, private and Medicaid and Medicare. That's your single payer. And how's Medicaid working for people? It sucks. They don't cover the medications that you need. You can't get in to see a doctor that you want. I don't even want to talk about the pediatric side of it. Those kids are drugged out of their mind on most of the time. Medicare folks can't afford to even get their medications. When they get admitted to the hospital, they have to be, well, when they get admitted, because they don't want to admit you because you have to be in and out in a certain amount of time for the hospital to be paid. You can't be readmitted within 30 days with the same diagnosis or they won't pay it. So they're really doing a number on our seniors. They'll pay for end-of-life decisions, but they won't pay for a hip replacement. This is not a system that's user-friendly and that is life-affirming, in my opinion. So you let the government do more of that and expand that out to the commercial insurance side, that's your single payer. You're not going to get a facelift. You're not going to get a hip replacement. You're not going to get your nose done. You're not going to get your tonsils out. You're not going to get anything. You might get some medication. You'll get drugged to the nines. And I can tell you, you'll get vaccines out the wazoo. You'll get that, no problem. And your wellness checks. But when you really need something, a bone marrow placement, you know, Avastin for uterine cancer, hyperbaric oxygen therapy for whatever, you're not getting that. It's too expensive. It's experimental. It's not covered. But you paid for the privilege. You might get your cold taken care of, maybe. So you're going to end up in an ER. Hopefully you don't have anything life-threatening because you're going to be treated and streeted. Or you'll go to a clinic, a minute clinic somewhere. But you're going to be, this is going to be a vacuum sucking this money out of your pocket. Your tax returns will be a fraction of what they used to be. And this is what you're going to be paying for. And you're not going to have doctors in the system taking care of you. So you'll have mid-level providers as your front line. The registered nurses are now case managers and doctors of nursing. They're not on the front line taking care of you anymore. You have someone who's gone to school for 6 months, if it's, you know, those online or online, not even school, online. You might get a physician assistant who did 2 years somewhere. And they're, you know, going to pull up their iPad and look, type in, you know, chest pain. These are the workup you need to do. These are the medicines you need to give. This is the orders you need to put in. And that's what they're going to, oh, no, oh, sorry, I missed one step. They're going to have Watson oversee all this. So they'll be plugged into the IBM brain, and that will tell them, well, this person's 80. It's not worth doing this procedure because their quality of life is such and such. That's what you're going to get. And you have nobody, you have no advocate that's going to be there saying, well, this person is he drives, he gardens, he's sharper than a 20-year-old. This is not a typical 80-year-old. They don't care. You are a number. You are a statistic. You are a data point, metadata. They're creating this virtual patient. And if you fall outside the paradigm or the norms, oh well. Do you really want that? Is that the single payer that you really want? You need to ask yourself that. Or do you want people to get out of the way and be able to choose your doctor? If you want to do chiropractic, if you want to do acupuncture, if you want to do energy medicine, whatever you want, it's on you because it's your money and you're picking what you want. If you don't want to do the vaccine, you don't want to do the cancer treatment, you want to do something, you know, integrative, you should be allowed to do it. Why is somebody able to take your power away, have you have a bad outcome, and then give you no recourse? That doesn't make sense to me.
We've let them.
We have, but we've been told that, trust us, we got this. Just give us the money, we know what to do with it. They waste money.
What was Reagan's foremost scary words or whatever?
I'm from the government, I'm here to take care of you, is that it?
I'm here to help you.
Yeah, to help you, yeah. Yeah, help you, relieve you of your money, relieve you of your freedom.
Help you die.
At this point.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another article that came out about California. They have an assisted death law in effect. 111 people committed to assisted suicide from their physicians. 111. One of the ones that I remember in, I think it was Washington State, it was someone with depression. It wasn't even somebody with a catastrophic illness, you know? So you're having a bad day. I mean, it's just mental illness being taken to the nth degree. Literally. On all fronts. You said something to me, you hurt my feelings, and therefore you're the worst person in the world. I mean, that's what we're dealing with now. I've never heard of anything like this, but it's like a mass of, you know, people who are damaged in some way, or you're told that you're damaged, and you say it long enough, then you start to believe it. We're all grievance groups at this point.
Sort of goes back to those same people are the ones that want it for free. You know, they want something for nothing.
Well, they've been told that they're owed it.
Yeah.
That somebody took something from you, somebody owes you something, and usually it's white men that did it for whatever reason, and it's or it's American culture that did it. I don't subscribe to that. Why are you even here if you even believe that? There's plenty of countries you can go to if you're unhappy.
They're unhappy only to the point that they don't want to give up anything that they've already got here, and their lifestyle. They don't want to go to wherever and live something that's not their lifestyle.
It's never going to be enough. If you're not happy within yourself, I can't make you happy. I mean, this this guy from, he used to work for Breitbart. I forget his name now, but I was looking at a video and he made a very good point. The whole gender argument or conversation, it's not even a conversation because you can't have one, because if you have an opinion, you're the worst person in the world if you don't agree. He basically said, if you want to change your sex, then that's fine. I support you. But me being made to say that I think you're a man when you're really a woman is not making a difference. It won't make a difference. It won't make you happy. And I'm not going to say that because that's not the truth. I get that argument. If you see yourself some way, then that's fine. But you can't make me change what you can't make truth. You can't change truth. Your XY chromosome or your XX chromosome, genetically you're male or female. The rest of it is just surface. But just because you say you are doesn't mean you are. There's some, I think she's from Netherlands. She's now transitioning to being from a white woman to a black woman. I mean, this has gotten out of control. It's just, are you kidding? I think it's not stable.
You know, well, let me back up. But this was when I was in junior high school. And this was just the time that, in the early 60s, late 50s, that we were just sort of at the tip of the iceberg of segregation and integration and yada-da-da-da-da-da. And I had, in my junior high school, there was one teacher, white male teacher, that decided that he wanted to find out what it was like to be black. So he only ate dark green vegetables, and he turned himself sort of green. He didn't turn himself black, but just sort of greenish color. I didn't even know that could happen.
I didn't either.
But he did, and the whole thing was just, you know, even as kids we were laughing at him, much less the faculty and everything else. You know, I know how you feel about religion, and we share the same faith and same beliefs. I am what I am because somebody a lot bigger than me decided that was what I was going to be. Mm-hmm. And you or I, neither one, every day is not the perfect day, but I'm blessed to be here. And I've had a lot of good things happen to me, and you know, I have no regrets. I don't want to be you. I don't want to be anybody else. I'm Mm-mm. very happy to be me. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I've spread it around, or, you know, I've extended it. I can't make everybody happy, you know?
Well, we shouldn't be on earth to make other people happy.
Yeah, well,
that's not really what, you know, we have a purpose. We should be doing what we're
either you
on
like
earth
me or you don't
and
like
that's
me.
Fine.
That's cool.
And but that's the problem with our culture socially. So you want likes, you want people to follow you. You're somehow, your value is based on how many people you attract. That's not, I don't understand that.
Following you on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, big deal.
It
doesn't even, you don't even know these people, right?
No.
But this is, you made a very good point. We're all individuals. We're different. We're not the same. None of us are the same. I don't care if you're within the same racial makeup, sexual makeup, whatever. We're not the same.
The one thing I've found, and that goes straight across the board, an idiot is an idiot. And it doesn't matter whether he's white, black, green, yellow.
I agree.
If he's an idiot, he's at the yo-yo, what is it, can't think of his name, the actor that said, when was the last actor?
Oh, Johnny Depp?
Yeah, Johnny. What a jerk, you know? And then there's the lady professor that was on Tucker Carlson, you know?
Oh, well, she got fired, thank goodness.
But I mean, they're jerks. God, all you have to do is drive in Atlanta, and you can meet all the jerks you want to. They're white, they're black, they're purple, they're... You know, they shouldn't be driving.
The bottom line is, the people who talk about, you know, social justice and discourse, you know, having a calm discussion with somebody, they just don't do it. It devolves into name calling, demonization. It's the Alinsky playbook. We're seeing it daily playing out on the TV, in Hollywood. And it's so negative. I think that's what's turning most people off. It's just, there's nothing good about what they're doing. There's no humanity. There's no empathy. It's my way or you're the worst person in the world. Or, you know, they just use these buzzwords. You're Hitler. You're racist. You're sex. I mean, it doesn't even have a meaning anymore because it's not true. And they're the ones that are projecting it. So on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I know we kind of got off the track a little bit, but, you know, it is all tied together. It's this... We were talking in the break about people just blindly being against something. I mean, I followed a car the other day, and all these stickers of resist, resist, resist was on the car. Why don't you stand for something instead of constantly resisting something? Because if you stood for something, then you could actually have... a conversation and maybe change minds. I think people honestly believe that there's a global warming and then all these things exist, but not engaging with anybody, resisting, being violent from a physical or emotional standpoint, bullying people, doesn't get your point across. What it does is it alienates you. You just can't even see it because you're hanging around with the same people who are doing the same thing. But we already know that a lot of these people are paid. Soros has done a bang up job paying up Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all these groups. They're getting funded by Soros. Do they really believe that, or are they actors saying it? And is the media hyping them, making it seem like it's a bigger deal than it is? I just don't trust it. I think the average person is not like that. The average person just wants the same thing, which is to have a job, live comfortably, make sure their children have more than they had, stay healthy and not be bankrupted, vacation a couple times a year, if not more. This is not a black-white thing. This is a human thing. If you lose an election, the thing is to work harder to win next time. Not try to overturn the game by making up stuff, by demonizing the person who won. Honestly, they were more like he's not what they say they are, in the sense that he would actually meet with somebody and listen to them. He tried the listening tour with a lot of different disparate groups. It doesn't serve you just to call names and throw rocks instead of getting in there and making a difference. I'm not high on Congress, but I went up there to try to explain my, you know, as a physician, my standpoint. It wouldn't serve me to be on the outside just whining and getting nothing done. Maybe one point, one thing that we said, open up the eyes of the legislators to make a difference. Maybe. I think there's a couple of things that have made a difference in what they've been putting forth. But the point is, you have to be in it in order to make a change. It doesn't work by, you know, ruining the entire, you know, messing up the entire game. And this is kind of a game, but these guys are anarchists. They're not about making the country better. They're about destroying it. And they want to destroy it so it gets remade in a socialist model. You know, read about what they're saying. It's not race per se. It's about getting rid of our society and remaking it. They weren't kidding when they were talking about change. They weren't kidding. And that change is getting rid of the power structure, getting rid of the social fabric, what makes us all American. They're doing it. They're doing a very good job of it. But I do think the pendulum is starting to swing back, where people are done with being preached to and being said. How many times can someone hear that they're a racist and then finally tune out? Or just say, I'm done listening to you. You don't matter. That's what's happening. But that's not going to be on TV, because it's against their agenda. Their magnifying glass is to try to demoralize us, to try to make us feel like we're just the only people in the room, and we're not, that we are powerless. We're not. We have power. We have the power of the vote. We have the power to go up to those Congress people and say, you're out. I'm not voting for you. I'll make sure that I'll find someone to vote against you, you know, to vote so you come out. They get that. You can stop buying insurance plans that don't work. You can, if you can, get a voucher and you're in a situation where your child's in a bad school, use your voucher. Or at least go up there and start talking to the teachers. I remember as a kid, my mom and dad were up there constantly. And they weren't joking. I want my kid to go to the best school, the best college in the country. And I'm going to be here to make sure it happens. That's their mentality. It wasn't, I'm just going to sit back and let it just happen. Take some control. Take some responsibility. It's empowering. And when you do that, you stop being swayed and pushed by this voice of, it's not even of reason. It's not reasonable. It doesn't even make sense. It's hypocritical. You have racist people saying that other people are racist. You have people who are sexist telling people that they're sexist. You have people who are intolerant telling people that they're intolerant. That's what you have. And you have people making rules that they don't live by, that they know will keep us at each other's throats, which will keep the status quo going. That's how they operate. That's how they roll. I can see it. I think more people can see it. And I think we need to call it out. As every time it happens, you need to call it out.
As I mentioned, my wife works at a middle school, and she's very thankful she doesn't have to work with kids. She's the principal's secretary. But I had to laugh as you were talking about, and my parents were the same way. If they came to school on an issue with me, or like you were talking about with your parents, it was somehow, heaven forbid, related to education. Parents still come to schools and raise hell, but I could tell you stories that my wife has related to me about how dare you kick my child out for using the cell phone when it's a rule not to, but she's special and she needs to be able to text me during the middle of the day. How dare you tell my child that they can't take aspirin when they want to? How dare, I mean, the parents still come to schools, but they come to schools. Education is seldom mentioned. It's always something that my little darling, I've blessed my little darling, and they can do this and they can do that. I don't care about the rest of the kids. The rules are for them, not my child. My child's perfect. It's just our attitude today is just, like I said, I could tell you stories that couldn't be, but it is.
I agree with you. But that's a participation trophy. Everybody's special. Everybody's a winner. You have to work to win. And if you don't win, that's okay. Find a different thing. Try harder. It's not a bad thing when you don't win. Actually, sometimes it's a good thing because it makes you better. On that note, let's take a break. Or I should say, let's stop. You are listening to Medicine and Call, and I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. And that's it.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.